Today, I'm going to talk about free grace theology versus lordship salvation. Now, if you don't know what free grace theology is, it used to be called easy believism. But that was a name given by the other group. Not such a good name. Just as lordship salvation was given by the easy believism people as a negative term to talk about what they believe. But we're going to use free grace, since that's what free grace prefers, and lordship salvation, because there's no other given name that I know of. And we're going to look at five crucial areas that show the differences between these groups in areas of salvation, concerning salvation. Now, first, I'm going to give a brief overview, kind of a skeleton look at the differences, and then I'm going to look at some scripture at the end. And in looking, now, first, before I start sharing about the points, I just want you to realize both groups believe that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and not of works. Anything else you've heard is not true. Now, this is specifically with those who also, both groups, that believe also that in the security of the believer. Now, there's some groups that don't believe in the security of the believer. They may take one of these sides and be very different. But specifically with the security of the believer and these two groups is what I'm looking at. So we're going to look at first, the differences in repentance of sin. Second, surrender commitment. Third, what it means to believe. Fourth, changed life. And fifth, continuing to believe. So there's differences in each of these areas. The first three kind of go together, but we're going to look at them separately. So first we're going to look at repentance of sin. Now I must define repentance. Repentance is not changing your life or cleaning up to come to God. It's not. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart. It's a decision that happens at one time where you repent. You change your heart, change your mind. Now, the free grace people would say that repentance from sin is not necessary in salvation. That's not a part of salvation or a part of faith. And so they would separate that and say, you should not say that repentance is needed for salvation, because they say it's not. Whereas lordship salvation people would say, repentance is a part of faith and necessary in salvation. And they would say repentance is you make a decision to stop going your own way, doing your own thing, and just make a decision in your heart to then follow, obey Jesus Christ. That's repentance. It's a turning of your heart, a decision of your mind. And so they will say that is necessary for salvation, that it is actually a part of faith. The true saving faith involves repentance. And secondly, we'll look at surrender and commitment. Surrender and commitment of the heart, the mind. Now, free grace people say that surrender and commitment is not a part of salvation or faith, saving faith. That it is not. That someone can actually come to Christ, be saved, and have no desire whatsoever to follow Christ, to serve God, or to change in any way. But they'd still be saved because they are persuaded of some facts, which we'll talk about later, but specifically, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again for our justification. And some will say also in that group that you also need to be persuaded that Jesus is the Son of God. That's it. Once you're persuaded of that truth, you're saved. Nothing else. No surrender, no commitment, no repentance. That alone. And they say that is faith. Lordship salvation would say that surrender and commitment is actually a part of saving faith. That in believing in Jesus, you need to believe, make a surrender or a commitment to him for who he is. He is Lord. And that's where lordship comes. That you believe in Jesus as your Lord. That involves a surrender or commitment to Jesus to follow him. So repentance and belief in Jesus. So they say there is necessary a surrender and a commitment to Jesus involved. Not an action, not a change, not works, a change of heart, a change of mind. Third, we're going to look at to believe. What does it mean to believe? Both groups have a different meaning of what it means to believe. The free grace people say to believe, like I just said, is to be persuaded of some facts. The facts are that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again for our justification, and that Jesus is the Son of God. And some would not would say not even that Jesus is the Son of God, just that he died on the cross and rose again, and that's it. You got a little difference there. That's all you need. Once you've accepted those facts, you've been persuaded of those facts, you're saved, no matter what, you're in heaven. You've sealed it. Everything's done. No matter what happens after that, it doesn't matter. You're saved, and you're secure, and you're as good as in heaven. Whereas the Lordship Salvation people would say, yes, you do need to believe for what Jesus did, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again for our justification, but you also need to believe in Jesus for who he is. He is the Son of God, and he is our Lord. Now, sometimes we don't know what Lord means. We say, what is that? Lord, the one, our ruler, our master, whatever, our Lord. Believe in him as Lord. And you say, well, let's see, what would be an example of a picture? Well, I'll give you a picture example. Remember way back looking at the four spiritual laws, and in that four spiritual laws, they would show a circle, and we're representing your heart. So it says, that's your heart, and there was a throne there. So the throne in our heart, if you can picture that, and on that throne is an S for self. That's how we were. And to come to Jesus, to believe in him as Lord, is to say, repent. I say, I want to take self off the throne, and I want to entrust my life to Jesus and put Jesus on the throne of my heart. That is believing, repenting, and believing in Jesus as Lord. Okay? So that is the Lordship part, or believing that way. Some may not like that picture. I like it. Because we need to understand, what does it mean to believe in Jesus as Lord? And that helps. So next we're going to look at the fourth, changed life. Now, free grace people will say that if you're saved and truly believe in Jesus, you've accepted those facts, there won't necessarily be a changed life, or notice a changed life, or fruits of the Spirit coming forth out of the people's lives as an evidence of a changed life. The biggest thing is on evidence. That's not evidence that you were saved. The evidence is that you accepted those facts. Boy, you're saved. There might be evidence, there might be fruits, there might be a changed life, or there may not. There may be obedience as a result, or there may not be obedience as a result. It's not evidence that you were saved. They say it's that one time. Whereas Lordship Salvation people will say that if you truly believed, your life will change. There will be a change. Complete change in your life. As the scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a change. There's a become a whole new creation. They'll say also that the Spirit of God came to live within us. We've been forgiven of all our sins. We're a whole new creation. There can be nothing but a change, a different person. Now, it's different in different people, but there will be a changed life as a result of salvation. And you can look at that to see, yes, I truly believed in Jesus. Also, they will say, the Lordship Salvation will say, that your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, especially love, the fruits of the Spirit will also come forth out of a true believer's life. And that also is evidence that you truly believed. And then go on to say, even our works. No works can save you, but the evidence, the result of salvation will be some obedience and works. Now, very clearly, they will say also that a changed life, the fruit of the Spirit, or any kind of works or obedience does not save you, and it does not keep you saved. It is just the fruit or the result of salvation and evidence that you can look back and say, hey, I truly was saved. And an example would be an apple tree. They would use and say, if I have an apple tree, what makes it an apple tree? Well, that it's an apple tree. It's got the roots of an apple tree and come up an apple tree. Now, when I see apples on it or apple blossoms and then apples, I say, Whoa, that's an apple tree. It's very evident it's an apple tree. Now the apples do not make it an apple tree, or the blossoms on it do not make it an apple tree. It has those because it is an apple tree. Same way. Works or obedience or a changed life does not make us a Christian in any way or keep us a Christian. But if we are a Christian, those will be the result in our life. Those will be evidences. We also have the flesh. We also stumble into sin. We also blow it. There's times of unfruitfulness. Yes, because we still are in the flesh. There's not sinless perfection that comes forth, and they don't say there is. Or there might be some people that do, but generally say no. But there will be some fruit that shows forth. And fifth, continuing to believe. Now you realize both of these groups that I'm talking about, there are some others that don't believe this, but believe in security, eternal security of the believer. Now the free grace people will say, if you believe, you accept those facts, no matter what happens in your life, you're in heaven. That brings you complete security in Christ of your salvation. If you were to, a short time later, renounce that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, you were to renounce that Jesus is the Son of God, you were to totally turn from Christ, you go your own way, it doesn't matter. You're still saved, you're still going to heaven because at that one time, you were saved. You accepted those facts. Whereas Lordship Salvation would say, if you believe, but later down the road, or you seem to believe, let's say, and later down the road, you reject Christ, renounce the faith, just go your own way, that you were never truly a believer and never were really saved. And that would be evidence that you were never saved and that you would not be going to heaven. So that's in a nutshell, looking at both sides, because there's so much difference in each one. You're going to say, oh, well, they don't believe that or they believe that, whatever. That's just to give a quick look at it. Now I would like to look at some scripture on each one of these. And what does the Bible say? Now, it'll take forever to look at all the scriptures, so I'm just going to look at a few and then challenge you. If you want to know more about free grace, go to the free grace people. Hear what they have to say. If you want to know more about Lordship Salvation, go to the Lordship Salvation people. See what they have to say. Don't learn about Lordship Salvation from free grace people. It's not going to be solid. It's not going to be true. In many areas, I've listened and absolutely not. Don't learn about free grace people from the Lordship Salvation people, because many times, they are not always so honest, what free grace teaches. So, you know, free grace people, they believe that we should walk in good works. We should serve Christ. They're not against good works. They're not against, they say it has nothing to do as the fruit of salvation are an evidence of salvation. So, let's look at scripture. And repentance of sin, we'll look at Acts 3:19. Now, in Peter's first sermon, he preached on the edge of the castle, he did mention repent. He said, repent and be baptized. And it was part of his message, calling people to repent, as well as other stuff. He preached others, he didn't say clearly what he said, but he said other things, and then said, be saved from this perverse generation, and they received it. Again, the second sermon preached, the first one just talked about was Pentecost. The second one, where Peter preached, chapter 3, verse 19, Peter said, preached the message, and he said, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So he says, repent, therefore, and be converted. It was a part of his salvation message. Repent, he said. Acts 20:21. Paul saying that he was going from house to house, he was preaching the gospel, and this is what he was teaching. He says, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21. That's what Paul preached. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. He put him together. Look at Mark, when Jesus came preaching the kingdom. What did he preach? Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And Jesus, he taught, repent and believe in the gospel. He had them together. That's what Jesus preached. The times when he said, believe in Jesus, to believe in Jesus, it involves repenting. How can you believe in Jesus as Lord if you haven't repented, made a decision to not have yourself as Lord, or to have not have believed him as Lord? It's a decision in the mind of the heart to repent and then believe. Next, we're going to look at surrender and commitment. Look at just one verse, or one set of verses, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. And I've heard one free grace person saying, what they all do, that this is talking just specifically about discipleship. Well, I beg to differ, because the two verses after 24, 25, and 26 make it clear what it's talking about. And it's more than discipleship. Okay? Verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, you want to follow after me, come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny self, yourself, take up your cross, which is for dying to yourself, and follow Jesus. So there you got it. Commitment, surrender. Repent from self, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Commitment, surrender goes with that. Verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. It's talking about saving your life and losing your life. That's salvation. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Again, losing versus saving your life. Verse 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Talking about losing one's soul. That's salvation, not just discipleship. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Salvation. Now, in following Jesus' discipleship, we should still also be living a life dead to self and following Jesus in the process. So that works great also with discipleship, but this is the beginning of salvation. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's the scripture I looked at. God showed me and opened my eyes to it when I came to Christ. I did this, and I was saved. I was changed, a whole new person. And from that point on, my life completely changed. And it's been Jesus the whole way. Though I've slipped and I've followed, I stumbled. I came to Jesus as Lord, and then I spent the rest of my life trying to live according to that Lordship and failing many times in many ways. But I still believe in Him as Lord. Now, what does it mean to believe? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Just look at this one scripture, though there's many. Okay, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, depending on what translation, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what do we need? Confession with our mouth, Jesus as Lord. And confession in your mouth that Jesus is Lord means nothing if it doesn't come from the heart. And believe that Jesus, that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Okay, and what is it? Why does he need to be raised from the dead unless he also died on the cross? So we put all the scriptures coming together with this. We see that we need to believe those facts, and we need to believe in Jesus, confess him as our Lord. So we have that right there. I'll read it one more time, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? So there we have what it means to believe. Changed life. I already told you 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm not going to go there. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation or creature, depending on what translation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is a change, a whole new creation. We've got the Spirit of God that comes to live within us. We're forgiven of all our sin. There will be a change. And then talk about grace. God's grace will bring that amazing change in our life. A whole new creation. God's grace is sufficient to do that. And there will be a change. And then there will be fruit, because God's grace that saved us is also God's grace that produces his life through us, our sanctification. His grace doesn't stop. It continues to work in our lives. And sanctification comes. And that same grace that saves us and sanctifies us through faith also keeps us into the end by faith. God's grace is sufficient to do all that. That is grace, in my perspective. Now, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Quite a few in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. This is about the fruit or evidence of being a believer or of the life change. It says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. So who is born of God? Well, those who love. It's not you love, so you become born of God. No, it's you're born of God, and therefore out of your life will come love. And knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. So if you're full of God, you're going to come out with some love. Love's going to come out. And if there is no love, then there was no salvation. Now, we fell in love many times and quite a bit. So it's not saying you have to go perfect love, no. But there will be some love, some evidence of love coming forth in the fruit of the Spirit. John, 1 John 2, 3 and 4. Now, by this we know that we know him. So how do you know if you know him? How do you know if you're saved? If we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. So if you say you know him and don't keep his commandments, it says we're a liar. And the truth isn't in us. Is there obedience? And then, now the obedience doesn't save us. I say many times. None of the changed life, the fruit of the Spirit, or obedience, or works, they don't save us in any way. They are all the fruit or evidence or result of salvation, but they can't save. We can never be good enough for our works to save us. We can never cleanse ourselves good enough to come to God. We always would come short there. That's why it's by grace, through faith, a gift of God, a gift of righteousness given to us. But that grace changes our life, which produces fruit and evidence of life change. Also in 1 John 3, 7, 8, and 10. I would say you should read that whole chapter. And the verse even before that to get into the context completely. John 3, verses 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins or practices sin, it's a continuous action, is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, what this is not saying, that if you practice righteousness, you'll become a Christian. No. It's just saying, if you are a true believer and you're born again, the result will be you'll practice righteousness. It doesn't save you. You practice righteousness because you are a believer and you have the gift of righteousness. And the result will just be a life of righteousness. Though we still have the flesh and we still sin and have unrighteousness there, but there will be practicing of righteousness. And one who practices sin, that doesn't make us of the devil. It's just, if we are of the devil, that will be what our life shows, is practicing sin, a life of total sin, given over to sin. And if our life is given over to sin, then we need a question. Do we really know him? Now, that's not for me to judge. I wouldn't judge that on someone, but I'm just saying, make sure you know him. Make sure that you truly were born again. And then you can trust in total security that you're with him forever and you'll be with him when you die in heaven. Look at one more verse. We're going to look at continuing to believe. Continuing to believe. Two verses. 1 John 2:19. A lot of 1 John. John really deals with this area. 2:19. It's talking about those who rejected Christ, who were following with the disciples, going with the disciples, but then they rejected Christ. And here's what he says. They went out from us. See, they were among us, but they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So their leaving, going out, proved that they were never really of us. If they were of us, they would have continued with us. And if someone's a true believer and has been born again, they will continue. If they are God's child, God's sheep, His chosen, they will continue in the faith to the end. His grace is sufficient to save, to produce a work of life in us and of holiness in us, and to keep us to the end, those who are truly His. If that doesn't happen, you have to see that person was not truly one of God's. Look at one more verse. I'm continuing to believe. John 3:36. Because free grace will say, if you believe, but then you reject Christ, you no longer believe and complete eternal with Christ for the rest of your life, no matter what, you die, you're going to heaven. Because at one time, one moment in life, you believed, or seemed to believe. I'll just say that. But they would say, yeah, you believe because you can know. They accepted these facts. And I say, just accepting those facts doesn't save anybody. So it doesn't have a lot of meaning there. But in John 3, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. So if you believe in Jesus with saving faith, you have everlasting life. It's there. You can be secured of your salvation for those who believe in Jesus. And he who does not believe the Son has not seen, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So the one who does not believe in the Son does not have life. So to say that someone that doesn't believe is still saved, going to heaven, no. They were never a believer, or never a true believer. Never one of God's, one of His chosen. So, what is true grace? Obviously, free grace also has a different view of grace. Their grace, you could have grace and not have a change. You can have grace and not produce any fruit. And you can have grace and not keep it to the end, but you're still saved. According to them, that's not grace that I know. I know a grace of God that saves us, produces His work in us, and keeps us to the end. It's all amazing grace, by grace, through faith, faith alone. Not of works. Works is only a result, a fruit of it, but it never produces any kind of saving, salvation. And even in sanctification, that also is by faith. We walk by faith, step by faith. As we walk in faith, we follow and walk in His ways. And then works will follow. And we remain to the end by faith, keeping the faith. And God's grace will keep us in the faith. But that faith will remain. God bless.